Well, the thing I really want to do, the main thing to do today, is to kind of try and be very practical and look at the iPhone and how you can use it as a multimedia journalist. But I wanted first just to give you a kind of a bit of a context and to think about mobile presences. I suppose, can we have a show of hands? Who's got a smartphone? Okay, cool. Okay, I mean, that's probably about 25-30%. That's about right for the population. About 25-30% of people have got iPhones, or rather smartphones. So that means that they are capable of receiving us. Why do you need a mobile presence? Well, the simple answer is because loads of people are going to be there. And it's really interesting, the people who, even though they're big corporations, haven't quite kind of got round the sort of the techniques and the practicalities of it. For instance, I subscribe to a lot of email bulletins, and these days I read them on my iPhone. That's where I go through my email. And there was one email from Top Gear. So I clicked on a link there, and it took me, rather than to something which was optimized for mobile reading, it took me to their main website. And in the tiniest letters, I could see, if you're on a mobile device, click here. And I'm trying to click with my huge giant's finger on this little link. And that's like a simple mistake that even the BBC, with all their wealth and expertise and all the rest of it, are still making. Also, I'd like to start with a bit of context as well about the web and where the web is going. You may have heard talk about Web 3.0, if not that, perhaps Web 2.0. But this is the way the web developed. Initially, we had what has now, in retrospect, become known as Web 1.0, which was when commerce drove things. So that was when Amazon and eBay were really driving the development of the web. It was really about commerce. Of course, we've always had content, but we've always struggled to monetize that content. We've struggled to make money as journalists, as publishers, out of content on the web. And that's been a real problem. It was a real problem for me at the Times and all sorts of other places. It's really difficult. But I think that we're about to solve that issue. So that was Web 1.0. Web 2.0 is the kind of social media where we're at now. And it's really community that's driving things. See how fast things move? If I was talking to you probably 2 years ago, I'd be banging on about MySpace. Now I'm banging on about Facebook. 500 million subscribers to Facebook, the place that people like to be. If there's one place, the most popular place in the world that people like to be, it's on Facebook. So a lot of publishers are thinking, okay, people really like to be on Facebook. They might like, sort of, to be on my website, but not as much as they like being on Facebook. So how do I get my stuff on Facebook? How do I get my material in front of this new and developing audience? And that's really where Web 3.0 comes in, because publishers are now thinking, okay, how are we going to merge these things? We've got our content. We're still basically in the content business. We're struggling to make our content relevant to this new generation of users, and we're also struggling to work out how to make some money out of it. But what's happening with the web and Web 3.0 is that these things are coming together. It sounds slightly pretentious, but people are talking about a web of connectedness, where content, commerce, and community all come together. And there are a couple of things added, which are just, these are the sort of headline things, and I'll explain them because they're slightly abstract. So as well as content, commerce, and community, we're going to get context, which is about the individual and their situation and location, and also personalization, vertical search, search which is about you, as opposed to search which is generic and the same for everybody. And context, this is the person's characteristics and taste. Commerce is the opportunity to buy products or services. Content is the information I want from the sources I trust and need to keep abreast of. So that's the area, that's where hopefully as publishers and journalists we can have an influence and we can make some money and create some jobs. And there's community, the opportunity to discuss issues with social connections. And then personalization and vertical search, which is really the development of intelligent search engines. Search engines that learn from your browsing habits. This is an app. This is from Condé Nast. This is an iPhone app for Vogue. Vogue Stylist, it's called. And this is very interesting because this is one example of the way a publisher is looking at Web 3.0, looking at the iPhone and thinking, how can I get into this? How can I, in fact, own a bit of it? And the great strength that a publisher like Vogue has, any title has, is the trust, sometimes affection, sometimes enjoyment that people have in that particular title, in that content, trusted content, content which they choose and like. So what Condé Nast through Vogue has decided is that it's